This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
We should be so lucky to introduce a stunningly gorgeous, multi-talented entertainer, best known for her Kylie tribute show 100% Kylie, which she performs on an international scale to great acclaim.
When she's not belting out the hits of Miss Minogue, she's a singer, model, television presenter and radio announcer. She shared the stage with some of the industry's leading names, including Westlife, Delta Goodrum, Guy Sebastian, James Morrison, Natalie Bassingthwaite and David Campbell, just to name a few. She's been a regular on Network 9's Singing Bee, the Network 7's Dancing with the Stars and It Takes Two, and performs at the annual Carols by Candlelight as part of the Melbourne Gospel Choir.
She's performed at prestigious events such as the Logie Awards, the AFL Grand Final and the Australian Open, which is viewed by more than 80 million people. For 6 months, she was a presenter on the late-night game show The Mint and is now part of Light FM's breakfast team every weekday from 6 a.m. She joins us to talk about her experiences in the local music and entertainment industries.
Lucy Holmes, welcome to the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So, Lucy, how did your love for performing begin?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It started very early, and one of my very first performances was on Agro's Cartoon Connection.
Oh, really? How old were you?
I think I was 6 years old.
And you still remember it?
I was wearing a bikini and a hula skirt, and I was miming Agadoo.
Agadoo.
And the footage is out there, which is really scary.
Oh, no, is it on YouTube?
No, and I'll probably kill my mum if she puts it up there.
I'll tell you what the scary thing is. Petro's too young to remember that song.
Whereas
I played it on the show a few weeks ago. It's a fantastic song, Agadoo.
I can't believe that. That shows my age just a little bit.
Yeah.
But I was 6 years old at the time, so it's not too bad. But, you know, I've just always loved performing ever since I was a child. I've loved it. I've always been taking lessons and getting up on stage whenever I can.
So what artists did you listen to growing up? Like your first CD, your first concert that you went to?
Oh, wow, my first concert, my first ever rock concert was Roxette at the Brisbane Entertainment Centre.
Oh, that is so not fair. They are one of my favourites and I've never seen them live.
Oh, I was so young and I went with my sister's friend and it was just, I'd never been to a concert, let alone at an entertainment centre, and it was just absolutely unbelievable. That was my first CD as well. And then I think my first singles were, there was some Paul Abdul, Peter Wilson Crying in the Chapel?
Yeah. Peter Wilson.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh. I know that. Was it Peter Wilson? I can't remember. And then Wilson Phillips, Hold On.
Oh, another classic.
Oh, some old daggy tunes there. But I actually loved music theatre as a little girl, and I'd go see lots and lots and lots of musicals with my mum, and that's where I sort of, I watched them up on stage, and I just used to think, that's what I want to do. I want to act on stage like those people.
Well, you have a degree in musical theatre, so you're what the industry would label a triple threat. You sing, you dance, you act. How important was that training in relation to the performing you do now? Is going from musical theatre to Kylie shows a big leap, or do the two have some things in common?
You know what, it's a perfect fit for me, and I get asked that question a lot. I probably call myself a 2.5 threat because I'm not the greatest dancer. I wouldn't go to a dance audition, you know, for a musical and try and do triple pirouettes or anything. But it's a great fit for me, and I love it because it's singing and dancing, and it's acting because you pretend to be somebody else on stage. So it was, you know, fabulous training for that. And I've often said, and, you know, maybe it's a little bit egotistical, but I love doing this show because, you know, I get to be Kylie. I get to be the person in the middle of it all.
Mm.
Where I think if I was doing musicals, I'd probably bitch be one of the 30 chorus members at the back.
Mm. So what were your first paid jobs in the entertainment industry?
Oh, wow. Goodness me. You know, doing a lot of session singing and backing work for people. But my first jobs, like as a singer after I'd left uni and when I'd moved to Melbourne, it was, I like to say I have completely paid my dues. You know, I used to do pubs and clubs, sports bars at TABs, all the awful gigs that you just want to absolutely forget.
Mm.
You know, gigs down in dodgy pubs, gigs where I saw fights break out and people covered in blood, and I just had to keep standing there singing, you know, some crazy, you know, song like "I Will Survive."
You didn't get any glasses thrown at you, did you?
No, I didn't. No, I never had really. I got held up against a wall once by a drunk guy at a pub, but I was soon rescued. But I like to think I've definitely paid my dues and done all those, you know, dodgy gigs back when I first started out years ago.
Now, in 2005, you were a contestant on the Celebrity Impersonator competition, Starstruck, and came second place as Kylie Minogue, and we'll speak a bit more about your tribute show later on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Starstruck was where you gained more widespread recognition. How was that whole experience for you?
You know, it was a really wonderful time for me. It was, you know, some of the first TV stuff I'd done. I had been doing the Kylie show for a while, and Channel 9 approached me to do the show. I'd been very hesitant to do it because I kept thinking, you know, it could either go really badly or really well. If it went badly, would that end the show 100% Kylie? But, you know, we decided to do it, and we ended up getting all the way to the grand final, and it was really wonderful, and the experience was awesome, and it did actually open a lot of doors at 9 for me and introduce me to a lot of people that I didn't know at the time that I'd work with later on, years down the track.
Did you get recognised on the street?
Yeah, I did. I actually did at that time, because it actually rated quite well. It was a really expensive show to make, and it probably didn't rate as well as they wanted, but at the time it rated well, and a lot of people still recognize me for that, which is so weird. They never remember the name of the show, but they always go, "You're the girl that did the Kylie on that impersonator show," but no one remembers the name of it.
Now, since then, you've done a heap of other television work, including shows like Dancing with the Stars and It Takes Two.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of the music-related television industry? Is it a healthy, thriving business? Does it treat its stars well?
You know, it was a few years ago. There was a lot of stuff on TV for singers to perform on, like those shows and Celebrity Singing Bee, which I've recorded the last 3 years of. In recent times, it really has dried up, and I think that's because a lot of the stations aren't making those shows anymore. They do cost a lot of money.
Mm.
But we were all, on all the shows I've ever worked on as a singer especially, you're treated very well and you are paid well, which is a really nice thing for a muso, because often you do a lot of gigs out there for lower money, for the love of it. But I find TV has treated you quite well. But in recent times, there's just nothing at the moment, which is really disappointing, and I hope that does pick up soon.
Is the behind-the-scenes atmosphere as dramatic and ego-filled as we are made to believe? Do you come across many people who can be difficult to work with, or any that are just plain nasty?
You know, maybe I'm just lucky, but I've never had any bad experiences on TV, on any of the shows I've worked at. And I think you look at a lot of celebrities and you think they're going to be these dramatic people that have these incredible lives. Backstage, they're just like, you know, you and I, especially in Dancing with the Stars, they all wander around in their bathrobes and slippers on before the show, and everyone's very calm. So I haven't seen any hissy fits or anything. I just think it's cruel. I think they play up the drama for certain things, but I think if you really saw it happen backstage, it's quite boring.
Now, you, as well as your TV work, you've also performed at a lot of special events with some incredible performers. What are some of the highlights for you?
Off the top of my head, I loved performing. I got to do backing vocals for Guy Sebastian at the Australian Open a couple of years ago. It was just before the finals between Gonzalez and
someone else.
The really nice, cute one.
Federer?
Yeah, Federer, that's the one. And that was aired, they think, to around 80 million people around the world.
Ooh.
And that was an incredible experience. I also sang last year at the AFL Grand Final. I was harnessed to the roof of the scoreboard at the very highest peak of the MCG in very windy conditions. And that was, again, that was an absolute highlight. And
You're obviously not scared of heights.
Sorry?
You're obviously not scared of heights.
You know what? I actually am.
Oh, right.
But it was just too good an opportunity.
Yeah.
It probably helped me get over my fear of heights. But, I mean, we had harnesses on, so I wasn't going to die. That's what I kept thinking. But, yeah, there's been some amazing moments where I sort of stop and go, how on earth did I get here and how did I get this opportunity? And I do feel very blessed.
In 2007, you began a six-month stint on The Mint, which was an unscripted and totally live interactive game show. Now, that show began after midnight for 3 hours every night. And when the show ended, soon long after, you began a breakfast shift on Light FM, which begins 6 a.m. You must have the most craziest sleeping patterns. How do you adjust to that?
It was very, very... This feels a bit like This Is Your Life, Lucy.
It is a bit, isn't it?
I need a big red book or I can't know. I mean, I love The Mint, and The Mint hours suited my personality because I'm a night owl. So being alive in the middle of the night, and we used to drink Red Bull and have lollies and just have the most stupid amount of fun on that show. But then swapping to Brekkie Radio, it's like when I used to go to sleep is now when I'm getting up to start my day. I get up at 4 a.m. So it is a bit crazy, and it's tough because I'm not a morning person, and here I am doing breakfast radio.
Over your career, what life lessons have your experiences in the industry taught you, and what advice would you give to young performers hoping to lead a career in the local entertainment industry?
I think some of the big things I've learned is don't ever expect anything and don't demand anything, but treat everybody how you would want to be treated. So whether the people are underneath you or they're above you, treat everybody with love and respect because that's what everybody deserves. And I think you get known definitely in this industry in Melbourne. You get known for how you behave. And there are some people, you might say their name to other performers and they'll know that person's a nightmare to work with. But there are some people that have these really great reputations for just being easygoing people, and I think that's one of the keys to having a healthy and long sort of career in the industry. But advice for people trying to get in it, you've just got to get out there as much as you can. If you're starting off, you've got to do the hard yards, you've got to do the gigs that don't pay, you've got to do the freebies, which, you know, we've all done over time. But, you know, if you have a passion for it and if you love it and if you're good at it, then you will succeed.
You're listening to the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9, and we're chatting to entertainer Lucy Holmes about her experiences in the local music and entertainment industries.
Of course, Lucy is best known for her alter ego Kylie Minogue, who needs no introduction, only that she is Australia's most loved gay icon. Lucy is the most acclaimed Kylie impersonator, and her show 100% Kylie has thrilled audiences around the world. So, Lucy, how did 100% Kylie come about?
You know, it's in its seventh year now. I think we're going into our eighth year. And because I'd done music theatre at uni, it was a really natural sort of fit. I'd been working around Melbourne doing lots of different things, and I'd always had the comment, gee, you look a lot like Kylie. And I used to gig and I'd start doing Kylie songs and put in her voice. And I never, ever once thought, you know, make a career out of this. But an agent who represents a lot of the big tribute shows around the country saw me and he's like, you've got to do a Kylie show. You know, there's no one out there doing it and it'd be perfect for you. And at first we thought, a tribute show? Oh, that's a bit dicky. And we was a little bit embarrassed, but we started it and then it just snowballed and it just took on a life of its own and it was just so much fun. So 7.5 years later, we're still doing it.
Now, were you a fan of Kylie prior to the show?
Definitely. Who's not a fan of Kylie? If you're not a fan of Kylie,
yeah, exactly.
A bit of a worry. But yeah, definitely. And I had seen her live and I thought she was an incredible entertainer. So it was a lot of fun to get to mimic her for a job.
Now, I'm interested to know, how does one study the art of being Miss Kylie Minogue?
One watches hours and hours and hours of video clips, interviews, her live concerts, trying to, you know, perfect every nuance, every dance move, every vocal attribute.
Much like most gay men do.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you're dancing around your rooms with a hairbrush, that's just what I did, but I just got paid to do it.
Through your research of Kylie, have you developed a greater appreciation of her as a pop artist and a performer?
Completely. And, you know, I'm not one of those mad Kylie fans that, you know, who go, oh, she could sing the telephone book and it would be a hit. You know, I do have perspective. But a lot of people are quick to judge her and quick to, you know, to insult her or her singing. And I find that really unfair because you see her sing live now. She's one of the few big acts that doesn't mime. I mean, look at Britney, who mimes her shows. Even Madonna mimes a lot of the stuff in her shows. But Kylie sings live, and her singing is really, really great. You know, she's worked on it a lot. She knows she's not, you know, the next opera singer in the world. But I think people are really quick to judge her without actually seeing what she can do. And she does some amazing vocal stuff in her shows. She hits some incredible notes. And I think when people judge her too quickly, I think that's really unfair.
She'll never be one of the greatest singers or the greatest dancers, but as an all-round entertainer, she is definitely one of the greatest.
Yeah, and she knows that. And she said that in interviews. She said she's born under a lucky star. She knows her limitations. She's not trying to say she's, you know, the best thing since sliced bread. But I think as an entertainer, there's only a handful. You can probably count them on one hand that will be remembered as some of the world's greatest.
I was just interested to know, for you, what would be your favourite Kylie tour?
Oh, you know, every time she does one, it changes. But you know what, I think I really loved Homecoming.
Yeah.
But gee, there's elements in all the tours that I've thought have been brilliant.
Do you have a favourite Kylie song? Like a favourite Kylie song and also a favourite Kylie song that you like to perform?
One of my favourite ones to listen to is one of her Impossible Princess album, which is a song called Limbo that she wrote, which isn't a well-known one, but I just think it's a great song. It's such a catchy song and a real insight into her life at the time. But performing at the moment, I love singing Wow, because I think it's new and I've been doing the others for 7 years.
So wow.
So it's nice to have something new to sink your teeth into. So I am enjoying singing Wow. I tell you what, I'm really over singing The Locomotion.
What about Better the Devil You Know?
It's an awesome song, and that's such a crowd favourite as well.
Absolutely. It's the best pop song ever, in my opinion.
It is. You know what? When it comes to pop music, she really has created a few of the most perfect pop songs of all time. You know, look, Can't Get You Out of My Head. Mm. Even I Should Be So Lucky, which, you know, people are quick to laugh at. It really has, you know, stood the test of time.
It's iconic, that song.
Mm. Yeah, and that's what she does, and there's not many people that do that.
Now, having seen your show a couple of years back, and being such a huge Kylie fan myself, one of the things I really loved about your 100% Kylie show is the attention to detail, not only with the costumes and the dance moves, but also you use a lot of tour renditions.
Yes.
A lot of tribute acts are very lazy and they just stick to what, you know, the version everyone knows. But you go through the tours, you bring up all the interesting arrangements and you play some songs that aren't as well known to the wider public that only Kylie fans might know, which I think is really awesome.
I mean, when we started the Kylie show, there was no one else doing it. Now, in Australia, I think people have seen the success of our show and how we've got to tour the world with it. And there's a whole bunch that have popped up, especially in Melbourne. And I think a lot of them go on iTunes, download the karaoke tracks, and there's their show. But we do have a band who, and we do choose all our favourite arrangements, because some of the arrangements on our tours are just mind-blowing. And they're much more fun to sing than just getting up and singing to a karaoke track. So we do try and choose the ones that, you know, really add to the show and that the fans know. And some of those other songs which people don't really know, I love to do because it can be so theatrical.
What do you think makes a good tribute act? And have you seen a really bad one? We've all seen bad ones.
Yeah, well, I think we've all seen bad tribute shows. You know, I think attention to detail, obviously. I think people do have to look and sound like the person. A lot of people just go, hey, I'm blonde, I'll give it a shot. But a lot of people keep going to me, oh, who else do you do? Do you do Britney? Do you do Pink? Do you do Lady Gaga? And I go, no, that's not what it is, you know, for me. There's some similarities between Kylie and I, which is why I do it. I wouldn't just stick on a long wig and try and do some Britney songs. But I think, you know, staying true to the artist, I've always had this benchmark. If I can make Kylie fans, diehard Kylie fans, love our show, then I've achieved what I need to achieve, because they're the harshest critics. And if you can appeal to them and they go, she's got it right, then I think you'll make everybody else who's, you know, just semi-fans or they like Kylie, then you've actually hit the mark.
Now, what would you say are the best audiences to perform in front of? Because obviously Kylie's got a humongous gay following and Joy's definitely evidence of that. Do you enjoy performing at gay venues?
Oh, yeah. I did Chill Out at Daylesford a couple of years back, and that was just so much fun. And there was actually two tribute acts. I won't say the other one. We started the evening, and I think there was about 6,000 people there, and it just went off, because it's like 6,000 people that know every single word to every single song.
Mm.
And so, you know, it was just, you can't ask for a more intuit, perfect audience. The second act after us came on, and I think around 5,990 people left, and there was 10 people still staying for this other act, which I don't think was probably the market for, you know, a gay audience. And so, yeah, that was a fantastic, fantastic evening. But we also got booked to do the Mardi Gras in Sydney. And this was a couple of years ago. We were all flew down there. Everything was ready backstage. I think it was the day they have it in the park. I don't know what it's called anymore. And torrential rains, lightning.
Oh, no.
It got flooded out. They had to shut everything down. And we couldn't do the show. And it was heartbreaking because I was just about to play Mardi Gras. So I hope they invite me back one year.
You have taken the show to a few places overseas. Any plans to take it to the UK?
You know what? Tribute shows in the UK are a dime a dozen. So if there's a lot of Kylie shows in Australia, there's probably, I don't know, 20 million Kylie impersonators in England. And you know what? If you look on the web and Google them, they are mostly hilarious. But it's a really different sort of thing over there.
Yeah.
You normally have one girl, she'll have a CD player, and she'll parade around at a nightclub for 20 minutes. The cost to get over there and what you can charge is what would limit it. I mean, we did look at looking at doing a few years ago, but who knows? I think because the industry over there is just awash with them, it'd be quite hard, even no matter how good the show is, to actually get the workbook. So we tend to go to places like lots of Asian places, Dubai, Vietnam, all those sorts of places where, you know, it's a real novelty.
Do you know if the woman herself has seen the show or any members of the Minogue family?
Well, the lovely, lovely Dani Minogue has been very supportive of the show. She's been absolutely lovely and said very lovely things about it. Kylie's mum and dad came to a show at Crown Casino for a breast cancer charity, and
Carol and Ron.
They were so lovely. They came. There's actually a funny story. No one told me they were going to be there because they didn't want me to be nervous, but I don't think I would have been, or maybe I would have been. But after the show, we're backstage. Apparently, Kylie's mum went up to one of the organisers and said, could we go backstage and say hello to Kylie? Obviously, because she didn't know my name, and the organiser turned to her and said, you do know it's not really Kylie, don't you? And Carol goes, yes. And then the organiser goes, who should I say wants to see her? And she went, Carol Minogue. And the organiser just absolutely shrank. And so Carol and Ron came backstage. They were so lovely. Ron gave me this big bear hug and two kisses and said, if Kylie's ever sick, she should call you, because that was just bizarre watching you up there. I thought I was watching my daughter. So I thought that was wonderful. Brendan has seen the show, Kylie's only brother, at a Channel 9 party. So, there's been some really wonderful links with them.
Any desire to do a 100% Danny show?
No, but I did send Danny something once which said, you know, Danny, if I had dark hair, it'd be 100% Danny instead of you. But actually, Kylie herself, we were in the same hotel during her tour. I was performing in the hotel. She was staying at the hotel, and we were performing quite late, so she couldn't come down, but her manager, Terry, and all the dancers and crew came down to the show, and Terry called our room and said, Kylie would love to see it. Can she send her? She's got a documentary crew filming her. This was for homecoming. And so the doco crew came down and filmed it all, and Terry stood there, and he was in the sound box, and after the show, he turned to the sound guy, and this, for me, is one of the best compliments I could ever get, but he turned to the sound guy and went, so she mimed that whole show, didn't she? And the sound guy goes, no, everything you heard was live. She doesn't mime. So that was really wonderful compliment.
Oh, fantastic.
Any upcoming shows for the Kylie show? Like, what's on the tour schedule coming up?
Yeah, well, you know, we're always constantly doing things. I mean, we list all our gigs on our website, which is 100%kylie.com. But we're actually in the middle of negotiating some tours to some places we haven't been before internationally, which is exciting, including Beijing, Macau, Malaysia, which is really exciting because there's three places I actually haven't been to yet. So hoping they will come off soon.
Mm. Well, Lucy, it's been fantastic talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
You're on the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9. Of course, we have been talking to entertainer Lucy Holmes about her career in the industry and the 100% Kylie show. Now, if people want to know more about the Kylie show, just give us that website address once more.
It's 100% Kylie, which is 100% Kylie.com.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.